All right. Tonight, we're going to introduce from the book of Proverbs, a topic that is very prevalent in the book of Proverbs, and that's the topic of our speech, the things that we say. Now, at the outset, let me mention this. James chapter 3 tells us there's not a person in this room tonight, not a single one of us, and that includes myself, who has perfect mastery over their tongue, over the things that we say. The tongue, the Bible says, is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. No man can tame. And that understanding is important for us because for every one of us, the tongue is to one degree or another a challenge. Some of us more than others. But I want us to understand that. But the book of Proverbs gives us some parameters to follow concerning our speech, that if we're wise and we follow these parameters, it would save us a lot of trouble. But it would help us to maintain relationships also in a much better fashion. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. So let's have a word of prayer, ask the Lord's blessing on His word. Lord, thank You again for Your word, which is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And Lord, as we look at this wisdom that's found in Your word, that's found in the book of Proverbs, may we heed it. Lord, may we listen. May we hide it into our hearts that we might not sin against You. Lord, may we heed it in our lives to better improve our relationships and to make us closer servants of You. Lord, bless our study together, and may we be challenged and even changed this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in many ways, a person's speech is like a window to their soul. You know, if you forget everything else I say tonight, remember this next sentence. Jesus taught us that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's found in Matthew 12 and verse 34. That's one of the best principles we can find in the Bible regarding our speech. It's the best thing you can find probably anywhere in the Bible. So what does it really mean? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Well, out of the abundance of my heart, my mouth will speak. The abundance of my heart is what fills my heart. It's what whatever is filling my heart will come out of my mouth in little samples, in little slips, the things that are in my heart. From the abundance of my heart, my mouth speaks. So we ask, how is that valuable? How is it valuable to know that? Well, if I'm a good listener, by this particular principle, I can understand this. If someone comes to me and says, you know, Pastor, such and such bothers me just a little bit. Well, when I understand that particular principle, I understand it's coming out of the abundance of their heart, and I know it doesn't just bother them a little bit, it bothers them a great deal. It's coming out of the abundance of their heart. So it's serious to them. And if I'm a good listener, then I can understand from the little bit that's coming out of their mouth what really is filling their heart. And I can maybe best meet their need, or maybe correct an issue or a problem or something like that, or even understand their character. Now, if you're around someone who cannot be around you for any length of time without telling an off-color joke of some sort, out of the abundance of the mouth, the heart speaks. If they are off color in their speech, you know, they are way off color in their heart. And that is a way to determine the character of an individual. It's by their speech. What is a window to their soul? Well, it is their speech that is the window to their soul. And so Jesus taught that, and that's why our speech is so important, especially as believers. Simply stated, you get a sampling of a person's soul. You get a sampling of a person's heart by what comes out of their mouth. And that's why our speech is so important. Since life and death, the Bible says, are in the power of the tongue, it would behoove us as believers to develop godly habits of speaking. And that's vital, I think. So how do we develop this? Because no man can tame the tongue. Well, not completely. There's not one person in this room who has fully mastered the use of their tongue and says everything right, according to James chapter 3. It is an ongoing process of sanctification. The Lord is making us, as we listen to these principles, as we read these principles in His Word, as we heed them and obey them, that process of sanctification takes place, and He molds us more and more into His image, and we develop those godly habits of speaking. We won't be perfect, but certainly we can develop them. Well, let's get right into our outline today. And I didn't have an... You have an extra outline? I don't even have one myself, but... The Christian speech... That's okay. I can do it. All right. The Christian speech should be pure. The Christian speech should be edifying. Now, why is that? Turn to Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 20. Proverbs 10, 20. By the way, our first point here is this. While you're turning there. Right speech is evidence of Christ's working in the life. Right speech is evidence of Christ's working in the life. Now, turn to Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 20, if you're not already there. It says here in verse 20 of Proverbs chapter 10, "The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little." And what does that tell us? Look at letter A. Letter A says this. Words spoken by a righteous person have inherent worth. Words spoken by a righteous person have inherent worth. It's like silver. A righteous heart produces valuable speech. And such speech, unfortunately, today is kind of rare. It's hard to find. It's a rare commodity today. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. Now, our society is teaching us sometimes to be far too vocal with rubbish. Just things that are not worth anything. Now, what am I saying? All you need to really do, and I'm not going to recommend you do it particularly, but all you really need to do is look at take a view at some of the primetime television that's out there today. And you can see, watch a few moments of it. The same is true what we listen to. You can turn on the radio and hear some of that. You can hear people driving down the road beside you and you can hear some of that music. You can go to the store and hear it. So the average speech that is pouring forth through this medium is really rubbish, isn't it? It's just garbage. There is little value to it. So the principle is this. What you watch with discernment. What you listen to with discernment. Very little of it is really silver. Very little of it is valuable. A lot of it is less than that. A lot of it is rubbish. So the Bible speaks of the rarity of good speech, of godly speech. Now, turn with me to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16 and verse 23. And in Proverbs 16 verse 23, the Bible says this, "The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips." Now, what does that mean? Point B. A wise person thinks before they speak. A wise person thinks before they speak. Now, let's look at that verse again. Speaking of thinking before you speak. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth. I guess I don't have that. Let's go back here. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth. Now that's excellent. That's a wise individual. If you're a wise individual, you have your heart and your mind engaged when you speak. Even before you begin to speak. Right? When you're thinking about something to say, have your heart and your mind engaged. You think through what you're going to say before you actually begin speaking it. You don't simply shoot off at the mouth. Right? It's vital that words and concept be carefully measured and framed before they come out of our mouths. Now, listen to this carefully, please. In the Christian context especially, the way we approach an issue verbally is absolutely vital. It's not just vital what we say, but it's vital in the way that we say it. And to tell you the truth, my personality can kind of be like a bulldozer at times. You know, if I see something a certain way, you know, that's the way it is. I head in that direction. And my opinion is not changing. At least it's not changing easily. And I may or may not tell somebody about it. It can be frustrating to people sometimes. Well, especially my family at times. I tend to expect everybody to think the way I think. And you know what? That doesn't work. They don't always think or speak exactly the same way I would. It doesn't always work that way. But in our relationships, not only must we communicate, but we must be careful how we communicate, especially in a sensitive situation. Somebody might say, well, Pastor, you know, I got so hot under the collar and I just let him have it. Well, probably not the right thing to do. Probably not the best thing to do. Because if you're wise, you allow your heart and you allow your mind to teach your lips what to say and how to say it. You know, some people throw their mind into neutral while they put their mouth into overdrive. It happens. I heard somebody once say, well, you know what, I'm just expressive that way. Well, no. You're just looking for an excuse to run at the mouth in a sinful fashion and hurt people sometimes. And the Bible says we need to be careful about our speech. Okay, let's look now at Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs 15, we're going to look at verse 26. A wise person thinks before they speak. I get behind in the PowerPoint. Okay. Proverbs 15 and verse 26. The writer of Proverbs tells us here, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant. The words of the pure are pleasant. Now there's a wonderful principle in that. Letter C. The principle is this. The pleasant nature of a person's speech is an indication of purity. The pleasant nature of a person's speech is an indication of purity. That is, when we say purity, we're talking about sincerity. We're talking about genuineness. So listen, if an individual is not pleasant in their speech, then there's a good possibility that that person is not a genuine person. You know, the most sincere people I have ever met, the most sincere people I have ever known in my life are the most pleasant people to speak to. Because listen, some of the most important conversations I have had, sorry if you're one of these, I don't think any of you are, but some of the most unpleasant conversations I've ever had have been with salespeople. You know, I go into a store, I go in to buy something, I need something, and the salesman accosts me right when I come in the door, and he kind of wastes all my time trying to pressure me into buying something I don't want, and he's just unrelenting there. And, if he's like that, I'll just kind of tell him, well, I'm just looking right now. Give me a price, and maybe I'll come back and I'll buy it later. And as we're walking out of the store, I'll tell my wife, Rachel, I'll never buy anything from him. And I'll go to another store, and the salesperson will be kind and attentive and pleasant, and he'll listen to me, and he'll assess my needs, and he'll say something like this, you know, you don't really need something that much to spend money on. Let me recommend this over here, which may better suit your needs at a cheaper price. It'll be less expensive for you. But even if the price is just a little bit higher than the other store, I'll buy it from him. Because it was a pleasant experience. That, you know, that other person who pushed and pushed and pushed, that wasn't pleasant. Right? He wasn't sincere. It was not something that was genuine. The second place was a lot more pleasant. So I trusted him. Pleasant speech is an indication of sincerity. So, Roman numeral number one, right speech is evidence of Christ's working in the life. But look at Roman numeral number two. Right speech enhances the life. Right speech enhances the life. In fact, every aspect of a person's life. Now turn with me to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. I'm trying to get my mouth in gear here. Proverbs chapter 10. We're going to look at verse 11. Proverbs chapter 10, starting in verse 11 here. And the Bible tells us there at Proverbs chapter 10, verse 11, the mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Now turn over to Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15. We're going to look at verse 4. And in Proverbs 15 and verse 4, it says this, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Now, what does that mean? That means a righteous person will speak words that empower the life. It empowers others to life. Their words become a source of help. Their words become a source of comfort and solace to other people. But did you notice in both of those verses, in the first, it says the mouth of the righteous is described as like a well of life. And then in the second verse, it's described as a tree of life. And did you notice the natural imagery there? A tree and a well, those things which I guess have life in themselves and give life. I think the symbolism is there. If a man is good with his speech, if he is comforting, if he is helpful, if he is encouraging in his speech will be that which brings life and health to others. Now, I want everyone to understand this tonight. Remember, speech is a window to the soul. We've said that before. Righteous speech, it tends toward life. Unrighteous speech, it tends toward death. Now, what does that mean? It means that a person who speaks words of encouragement, a person who is positive, a person who is careful, a person who is comforting, those kinds of words coming out of their mouth, a person who encourages, a person who praises, all of that tends toward life. A person who is negative, a person who is nasty and mean and critical and who tears down others with his speech, all of that tends toward death. Now here's the window to that person's character. The righteous man is the one who is speaking the words of life. Now I've known some people who thought they were incredibly righteous when in fact they were just incredibly negative people. Always running things down. Incredibly critical. And according to this verse of Scripture, their speech tends toward death. They were damaging in their speech rather than edifying in their speech. Now, how can I know the nature of a person's soul? By the picture of what is their speech. I can see it. A wholesome tongue will bring forth healthy words. That tongue becomes a source of life. Any crookedness in your speech will crush the spirit. It disappoints. It damages. It hurts. That's what the Bible means in Proverbs 15:4 when it says, "But perverseness in it breaks the spirit." It will crush the spirit. Now, how careful then do we need to be with our speech as believers? Now, let me ask you a question. Serious question here. Just answer it for yourself. What are your words reflecting in your speech? Are they reflecting something that is positive? Or are they reflecting something that is negative? But on the other hand, if you look on the bright side, let me say this. A negative person will never build. A negative person will always tear down. A negative person will close the coffin and just nail the lid down. A negative person will never have a hope of a resurrection. A negative person will only rip into something until there's nothing left and tell you that there was no hope from the beginning. And when you take that kind of view verbally, that is nothing but a tendency towards death. But on the other hand, if you look on the bright side, it's kind of the difference between seeing the cup half full and half empty, right? You know the analogy. And if your speech tends toward life, you will be amazed how the positive things that you speak will infuse in others. A tendency and a desire toward life and a desire to succeed. Let's look at Roman numerals number 3. Right speech willingly shares wisdom and knowledge with others. It willingly shares wisdom and knowledge with others. Now turn to Proverbs 10 and verse 31. Speaking of sharing, Proverbs 10, verse 31. The Bible says in Proverbs 10, verse 31, "The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom." I want you to notice something in these verses. The righteous person, whenever it mentions wisdom, the righteous person is never silent. Right? They're never just keeping their wisdom to themselves. They're speaking it. They're speaking wisdom. They're sharing wisdom with others. Now, I'm sure you've all heard this story. You know, there's a story that goes around about someone who needed an answer to life's deepest problems. And he found out that there was this hermit living on the top of this tall mountain, maybe in the Himalayas somewhere, I don't know. And hermit had all the wisdom in the world, and he's sitting on the top of this mountain, and so the man needs to get to him, and he climbs up all the way, this arduous journey, all the way up to the top of the mountain to get wisdom from this wise hermit. Well, let me tell you something. That story's a myth, because that hermit is not wise. Right? The Bible says if you're wise, you share that wisdom with others. You openly speak it to others. And speech is a vehicle to do that. The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom. Now, how do I know a man is righteous? By the wisdom of the things that he says. Now, look at Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15 and verse 7. And in Proverbs 15 and verse 7, God's word says there, "The lips of the wise spread knowledge, not so the heart of fools." So the lips of the wise will spread knowledge. The lips of the wise will teach. They will impart knowledge to others. Now, again, we're going to be flipping around a lot. Turn back to Proverbs chapter 10. Should have had you put your finger in there. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 21. In Proverbs 10 and verse 31, the scriptures say this, "The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of sense." Now, what are those verses saying? That a righteous man doesn't just keep his wisdom inside. Right? He gives his knowledge and his wisdom to others. He imparts it to others so they in turn can be wise. God intends that wisdom and knowledge be disseminated through speech. In other words, one should share what they know. And speech is the principal method on passing on God's truth. Right? How do we do that? Well, through personal witness, through the practice of preaching God's word. You know, the Bible says that God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save the lost. 1 Corinthians 1:21. So what is preaching? Preaching is the speaking or the public proclamation of the wisdom of God's word. The public proclamation of it. And of course, there's disciple making, individual mentoring, of course, through verbal skills is the standard of both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, you might ask, where do you find that in the Old Testament? Well, okay, as parents, you are commanded to, you are told to talk of the Word of God when you sit and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. At every moment, you should be ready to share the wisdom of God's Word with your children. That's an Old Testament principle. Now, what's a New Testament principle? How about Jesus with his disciples? Right? All of Jesus' ministry during his time on earth was one of communication of wisdom to his disciples. After Jesus ascended, what did he tell his disciples to do? He told them to preach the gospel to every creature. Again, what is preaching? It is the dissemination of truth verbally. And that is the basis of what we're talking about. The lips of the righteous feed many. If you have God's wisdom, you should speak it. If you have the gospel, you should share it. It means righteous lips should enjoy a wide audience. People should be hearing you. And many will find sustenance through your words of wisdom. In an incredibly secular age, it's important that God's wisdom be on our lips continually. We be sharing it with others. Righteous lips will pour forth righteousness and wisdom. And by the way, how about this principle? When you're at work, verbalize your testimony. Let people know verbally that you're a Christian. Let them know you're a serious-minded Christian. And it won't be long before someone there at work comes up to you with a problem that you can maybe help with from the Scriptures. They'll come to you and say, "Can you help me with this?" Or they'll have a question, and you have an answer for it. You should, as a Christian, again, always be ready with an answer for everyone who asks you a reason for the faith that is within you. That's biblical. That's 1 Peter 3:15. And you should know the Scriptures and have in your mind and heart and in your mouth, have it bathed in the Word of God so that it flows freely from your mouth when the time comes. And with power. Let's look at Roman numeral number 4. Yep. Roman numeral number 4. Right speech is positive and productive. It's positive and productive. Turn to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16 now. We're going to look at verse 24. Proverbs 16 and verse 24. Because you can't count on me bringing it up on the screen. It's best if you look it up yourself. Proverbs 16 and verse 24. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. Letter A. Use pleasant words to encourage other people. Use pleasant words to encourage other people. Kind and sweet words encourage the soul of the discouraged. They come as a welcome and a pleasant boost. They're like honeycomb. They're like sweet to the soul. You know, sometimes all it takes is a word of encouragement in somebody's life to change their day, to maybe change their life. Now, we've all heard of these testimonies, and some of you could give the same. Somebody who's been down in the dumps on a particular day or whatever, and someone came to them out of the blue with a word of encouragement that cheered them up. I think we've all experienced that. You never know when a kind word is going to change the course of someone's day. You know, somebody once said, be kind to everybody because everybody is having a bad day. Ah, and so that's somewhat true, isn't it? Another person said this, everyone has something about which they could be crying. I guess we could think of that too, right? We could think of things that would make us cry in our lives. The kindness of our speech can really be an encouragement to others sometimes. Let's not forget that. Pleasant words also foster physical health. It says there, it's health to the bones. Let's see if I have it again. Yep, it's health to the bones. Well, that's interesting. Because the bones are kind of on the inside of the body, aren't they? Right? They're on the inside, of course. And medical science, though, tells us that stress and tension they form deep within a person. Kind, encouraging words may help to alleviate some of that stress that's within somebody, therefore promoting inward health. You know, there is something that is healthy about someone who is positive. There's something about healthy about someone who is upbeat and joyful. You know, really, you can look at it the other way too. There's something unhealthy about someone who is negative, and something unhealthy about someone who is in a deep depression. And we know that stress is physically unhealthy for us. Now, you may not be a doctor, but you do have a mouth. Right? And you can help alleviate some of that stress. You can come to a person that is discouraged and you can lift them up and you can alleviate some of that distress and some of that stress that they're going through. And when you've done that, you've not only helped them mentally, but in some ways, you may have even helped them physically. That's exactly what the Bible's saying. Life and death are the power of the tongue. If you're in a position where you can alleviate that stress, then do your best. Do the best that you can through your speech to do that. Be careful of the things that you say. Pleasant words encourage others and foster health. Turn to Proverbs chapter 12. A lot of verses here. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 25. The Bible says this. Anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. Now notice, what does it take to make a person glad? Just a word, all right? A good word. Sometimes nothing more than that. Nothing more than a good word. Everyone experiences times of depression. Everyone experiences some times of discouragement. Sometimes even strong people will lose heart. But a simple word of kindness can turn that discouragement sometimes into gladness. And that's why we should be generous with our words of encouragement. And someone may say, well, Pastor, I'm not going to just flatter someone for no reason. Well, that's not what we're talking about. It's talking about words of encouragement, simply asking someone maybe how their day went. And then saying something kind to them. We can all do that. It's easy to practice. Turn to Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 18. Just a few verses back from this. Look at verse 18. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. Now, have you noticed how many times health is connected to our speech in these verses? A lot of times, not just mental health, but even physical health.
It's amazing.
Why? Because our communication with someone can really alleviate stress in someone. And we can do damage also the other way. Words of unkindness can do damage to someone's health. It can be like the piercings of a sword. And sharp speech can damage or even kill. You know, there have been people in this world who've been so discouraged by the careless declarations of another person that they've gone into the depths of despair and sometimes even taken their own lives because of it. Because of something unkind that someone said to them. That's how sharp speech can be. That's the damage that speech can do. It's like a sword. It pierces. Now, wise persons employ healthy speech in a constructive and edifying manner. Even in correction, when we're correcting, whether it's another person or our children or whatever, even in correction, we should choose our words carefully. Right? We're all guilty of violating these principles, aren't we? But you know what? Aren't these good parameters to have? To focus on? They are. Is what I'm going to say healthy? It's a good question to ask. Well, letter B. Choose your speech style to best meet the need of the moment. Choose your speech style to best meet the need of the moment. And there is some variety given in the book of Proverbs. Turn with me to Proverbs 15. Proverbs chapter 15. We're going to look at the first verse there. Proverbs 15 and verse 1. And it says there, Proverbs 15 verse 1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. There's two different styles. If you're in a difficult situation with an individual, you're having a disagreement, rather than blowing up and making the situation worse, why don't you just answer them softly? Answer them with a calm tone of voice. Doesn't mean that you're weak, but it means that you answer in a reasonable tone of voice. See what happens. Right? A soft answer conveys compassion. A soft answer conveys kindness and openness. And by the way, it really does work. It does. Now, not to everyone. Have you ever had someone just be explosive to you? Someone just start yelling at you? And you were kind and you were patient and you kept your tone of voice level. You used a soft tone and sometimes it makes people even angrier. That's a rare situation, but sometimes there are people like that. But most of the time, it works in calming down the situation. You know, somebody might say, well, you know what, I just had to lay it on the line, so I just got in their face and I just let them have it. Well, yeah, they'll remember the experience. But will they remember what you said? The message of what you said? It'll probably never sink in because of the way it was packaged. A lot of us today fall for packaging, don't we? Fancy packaging. Fancy packaging. Oh boy, there's got to be a good product in here. Look at the packaging, huh? It's great. You know, if we would think about our speech the same way, you know, the way we package it is utterly important. People will be more tempted to listen when it's packaged well. The message needs to be packaged attractively, not with harshness. You know, most of us wouldn't buy something that was in a package that looked like it'd be dragged through the mud. Or, was dirty or ripped or torn. Or dented or whatever, you'd say, well, that packaging in bad shape. I'll see if I can find another thing. Nobody would buy something like that. Why is it that some of our speech is that way? You know, torn and ripped and dented and, you know, sometimes stinky. Yeah, but what's good, it's good what's inside the packaging. Well, no one is going to accept it because of the packaging. Instruction then needs to be given on a positive basis. It needs to be given patiently and without harshness. Now quickly, Proverbs 25 and verse 15. Proverbs 25 and verse 15. I skipped a verse there. 25 and verse 15. Now God says once more in Proverbs 25, 15, by long forbearance a ruler is persuaded, and a gentle tongue breaks the bone. Now that's an interesting verse of scripture, isn't it? And we've all heard the old adage, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, right? But here it says, words will break the bone. It'll break a bone. Now, what's he trying to say? Patient entreaty, calmness, kindness. That's the best method to use with those in authority. Demanding rarely works, demanding from someone in authority. By long forbearance, a ruler is persuaded. Right? Patient entreaty is the best way. When you demand something, well, I'll tell you what happens when somebody demands something of me. I just want to kind of shut down the conversation right there. That's it. I'm inclined not to give them what they want if they demand it from me. Anybody, you kind of like that? You have that kind of personality? Nobody, huh? Well, the rest of you are superhuman, huh? But sure, you want to just shut it right off when someone starts demanding things of you and getting in your face. And I guess the point is that walking up and demanding things from someone in authority is really not the best way to appeal to their benevolent nature. And what the Bible is teaching here is that patient entreaty is best. The tongue that is gentle is what will eventually get through his thick skull. And I think sometimes, I imagine that's maybe what the Bible is saying here when it says it breaks the bone. Maybe we might say it today as getting through his thick skull. You know, a lot of this happens in marriages sometimes. You know, well, if I yell loud enough, well, then they'll get the message. Well, no, not always. It's going to be kind entreaty. It's going to be patience and the softness of your speech that's really going to get through and make a difference. It's going to break the bone ultimately. A couple of verses later in Proverbs 15 and verse 23. I love this verse here. Proverbs 15 verse 23. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Now God has blessed us as human beings with the ability to communicate. And it is the words of individuals, if you'll think back in your life, when you've been in various situations in life, it has sometimes been the words of kind individuals that have kind of spurred you and encouraged you along the way. You think about that. A teacher, maybe, who encouraged you in your schoolwork, who was a key individual at a particular time. Or maybe a friend who helped you out in the time you were discouraged with a kind word. They said something at a particular moment that really brought you up. Right? Or someone who told you something at a particular time that was sort of a light bulb moment, you know? You hadn't thought of it that way, but then they expressed it in that way, and it really made you learn something from it. You know, a word spoken in due season, how good it is. And all of our lives have been shaped by the words that have been spoken to us. All of our lives have been shaped by the words which we have allowed ourselves to hear. And that means, by the way, be discerning in what you listen to. Right? Listen to things that are of quality. Listen to things that are encouraging. Listen to things that will make you a better person. Right? All of us are influenced by these things. And when it comes to the Word of God, when that word comes in the nick of time, I think that's what that word means. In due season, it can mean everything in the world when it comes just at the right time. Letter C. Consider your timing as well as your words. Consider your timing as well as your words. Now, sometimes timing is really everything, right? Is the message due right now? Do you need to say it right now? Are we jumping the gun? Right? Now, that's very, very wise. An example of that is when I met Rachel for the first time, and I started going to her church. And she was actually the pastor's daughter at our church. And many times her dad would invite her, me over for dinner with the family, and we'd have plenty of times to speak and to get to know each other. And I remember particularly one particular night, I was lying on my bed, I was ready to go to sleep, and I bowed my head under my pillow, and I just prayed, Lord, I've finally found the person I want to marry. I found the person I want to spend the rest of my life with. You know, Lord, I don't want anybody else. I want her, Lord. Would you give her to me? And that was it. That was all I said. Then I put my head on my pillow and I went to sleep. And you know, the next day, I did not tell Rachel what I prayed. Right? Why? Because it wasn't time. There would be a time once we got to know each other, once we were ready for it, once she was ready for it. You know, I didn't want to blurt it out to her right away and she think, well, this guy's coming on pretty fast. What a weirdo. I better run fast as I can in the opposite direction. But the timing wasn't right, and there would be later on a right time to say it. I didn't ask her out on a date or anything like that. I was just content to continue talking to her and getting to know her and just to be her friend. In fact, it was her friends, her girlfriends, who came to me one day and said, you know what, why don't you just ask her out? You know she wants you to. And I kind of went over to her and I said, this is what your friend said. Is that true? And she said, yes. And the rest is history. So what I'm saying is, not only does your wording need to be right, but your timing needs to be right as well. A timely word may save the day. Those same words spoken prematurely or even too late may have little or no positive impact. Now, I'll finish with this thought. I want you to think about this. How important are the words that we say? And whether you know it or not, think about this. Whether you know it or not, there is someone in this world for whom your words, your individual words, have burned into their heart and soul like a brand. There is something that you have said to someone that they will never forget for the rest of their lives. Now, the question is this: was that something positive and life-giving that you said to them? Or was it something negative and hurtful? Well, think about that. Let's watch the parameters of our speech and make sure that we're using our speech according to the Word of God, using speech that is encouraging and helpful and edifying, and sharing that with others. Let's pray. Lord Father, thank you again for your Word today. Lord, there's so much in the book of Proverbs about our speech, and Lord, we'll continue that on for the next few times. We've tried to cover much of it today. But God, I pray you'd use our spirit, use your Holy Spirit of God to touch our hearts. We need your help. We need the Spirit's help to set a watch over our tongues. Because Lord, it is so difficult to control. The mouth and the tongue of man is so sharp. They can do much damage. And God, so many times, So many times we displease you by the things that we say. Lord, help us to be mindful of these principles, to be thoughtful before we speak, to time our words and to choose our words appropriately. And most of all, Lord, to follow the impulse of the Holy Spirit, that our speech, when it brands people deeply, would be for the positive, would be speech that brings people to life, and not for the negative, which brings people toward death and hurt. Lord, speech that would be a good turning point in their life for good and never for bad. Lord, make us a people who guard our speech, that the way that we might be a blessing to others as we open our mouths in the weeks, in the months, in the years to come. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name.